Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hi, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we've been broadcasting now since 2009. So hundreds of programs, and hopefully many more to come in the future. But anyway, we're back live today, I hope. I've been having all kinds of equipment problems, and I was over at my computer club this morning. And if you have a computer club in your neighborhood and you ever need your computer to be fixed, or you have to take classes, because there's always something to learn. And anyway, we were trying to fix one of my older computers, and it seems like it's gone, but they were saying that maybe they could make a copy of my hard drive, and I was saying, well, let's call Vladimir. Let's call Vladimir. Maybe they could hack into my computer and copy my hard drive for me. But my program today is going to be Paula White's Greatest Hits, and I played my song that I wrote. Actually, I wrote the song Make America Great Again, and I wrote it especially for Donald Trump for his presidential campaign. Of course, they didn't use it, as far as I don't know if President Trump ever listened to it, but I did see him at a rally. I wasn't invited to the rally, but I was there anyway in the crowd. And I managed to hand him one of my business cards with the name of the song on it. I was hoping that he would at least listen to it, because I think it's a great song for the theme. I guess some of us, I know myself, being around for a while, I've been around 69 years now, so I have a little bit of life experience. But of course, when you talk to people that are in their 80s and 90s, they have a whole different perspective on what life was like at one time in this country. But I remember, as a little girl, my father, I went to school at a Catholic school when I was growing up, and it was right across the street from the factory where my father worked. And there was many factories there at one time. There was a woolen factory where my grandmother worked. But even back in the 1950s, the factories were starting to close up, which was odd, because they were these massive buildings. And even back then, they closed up, and the place where my father worked closed up years later. And then when I went back to visit, probably about 20 years ago, the factory was desolate. And I remember there being a beautiful administration building there, and that was all run down and everything was overgrown. But I understand that they did actually reopen this factory. But we remember the days when cars were made here. And if you ever want to see something very, very sad, it's sad to look at the videos. Actually, if you go back and you look at the videos on YouTube of old New York, Detroit, the old Packard factory, which was beautiful. Ah, wow. I wish I had a Packard. It was a gorgeous car. And back in the day, remember when you could buy a car for like $3,000, $2,000? When I was a teenager anyway, gas was 25 cents a gallon. And so we kind of reminisce and we go back to how things were. But now when you look at the videos of Detroit, oh, it's so sad. The shuttered factories, the neighborhoods that have been run down and left derelict, because most of the jobs in our country were moved out of the country. And China now is enjoying our prosperity, the prosperity that we should be enjoying here. But of course, in my town here in Florida, the building industry is booming. They're building all over the place. They're building houses. And like it's going out of style. It's even hard to, people are turning down work. You can call a roofing company or you can call a plumbing company. And I've had them say to me, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I can't even give you a quote. Never mind trying to get a quote. Takes almost forever to get a quote. And if I do have anybody out there that listens to me, that's a general contractor or a retired general contractor, I wish you would contact me. I'd like to talk to you. You can contact me, Susan@propheticnews.com. And anyway, it's amazing. There are some segments of the economy that are booming. And it's a good sign, but of course we don't know how long it's going to be. But that's why when I wrote that song, Make America Great Again, it takes you back to a bygone era. Even some of the old towns, especially if you go out west, and I lived out in Colorado for a while, and there's some great old western towns there. You just get that cowboy, cowgirl feeling in some of these towns, and some of the great old hotels like the Hotel Boldorado in Boulder and the Hotel Colorado in Glenwood Springs, and some of the old mines that they have there, the old mining towns. So, or if you go out to Arizona, the beautiful scenery there, and Utah, California, we used to say, they used to sing that song back when I was a teenager or in my 20s, California Dream, and everybody wanted to go out to California. That seemed to be the place to go, but California is beautiful. Of course, it's changing. It's changing rapidly, but my mother and I took a trip out there sometime around, I think it was around 1987 or 88, and we went to Carmel and we went to Monterey and we drove along Highway 1 there, Big Sur. Oh, gorgeous. Los Angeles, well, the outskirts of Los Angeles, but we did spend some time. Actually, I went to get a haircut at one of the more popular beauty salons there in Beverly Hills. And when I was in the salon, now this is back, like I'm saying, 1987 or 88. So Peter Frampton was there. He was getting his hair done. But I did get to witness to him. And so I made it a day where I got to witness to a few people while I was there. But my mother treated me to a haircut. It was a very nice haircut. And anyway, we did meet when we were at one church there in L.A. We met with Arthur Blessed's wife, who was his wife at the time, I think, who they had five or six kids. But anyway, he left his wife and he divorced her and married somebody else. But which is hard because I think it's hard for any child when their parents get a divorce. My parents were married for over 70 years, and I wouldn't have wanted another mother or another father. I liked the ones I had. I'm not saying their marriage was easy, but they stayed together, and I'm very grateful for that. It's difficult. I think if people, like take for instance, right now we have Donald Trump Jr., who has 5 children, and he's getting a divorce. So if it was me, and I would be advising him to try to keep his family together for those two to try to work it out. Because obviously when you get married, usually you love the person that you marry. And so you don't always feel love for the person that you're married to, because love is not a feeling. It's a commitment. So I feel sorry for those 5 children because now their family is torn apart. And they may never get back together, and they may never have their family. And it's sad, you know, it's sad, but that's the day and the time that we're living in. If families don't stay together, it's too easy for them to separate. So they may not get along, but that's why you have counseling. You have to try to get along. Even a lot of marriages break up, especially for adultery. And you see that where it's all over the news. I was just looking at the Drudge Report before I came on today, and they're talking about the head of CBS. What's his name? Moonves. And so it says that 6 women have come forward. Well, he's not the only one, because it happens. It happens. Rich and powerful men can't control themselves for the most part, because they've got power, they've got money. And so that's why the Bible talks about temperance as one of the fruits of the Spirit, is temperance. And you have to learn how to control yourself, and they have no self-control. The main way that you get self-control is you're born again, and you have the Holy Spirit, and so God can help you in that area, because these people are lost, and they use their power to lord it over women. And then of course women comply, because some of them do. I'm not saying all of them do. I don't think any woman really likes to be treated like a sex object. I just don't think that women really like that. And anyway, sex is not love. No, it's not love. But there's so many scandals now with men that have a lot of power and a lot of money, and they have no self-control. So, and it winds up bringing them down, which is the sad thing, because they can spend their whole life building a career, building a business, and then they have these scandals, and sometimes they don't recover. They don't recover their reputation. But the Bible says that about an adulterer. It says that you basically ruin your name. You ruin your good name with adultery. And it does, because that stain is always with you. Even though God can forgive you and your wife can forgive you, and you can still hopefully repent and go on and keep your marriage together and your family. But It's a sad thing, but remember, like when we think about Jimmy Swaggart, when anybody thinks about him now, you always remember the fact that he committed adultery, that he was found with a prostitute in a motel. And so even though he's forgiven and the body of Christ has forgiven him, his wife apparently forgave him, that stain is still there. It never goes away. It never goes away. So it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's better to be faithful to your wife, faithful to your husband. Then you'll be happy. If you're not married, then you're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, where you don't commit fornication, you don't have sex outside of marriage, because sex is only for marriage. It's not for outside of marriage, because you only wind up hurting yourself. There's a story in the Bible, and I can't remember right now the name of the party involved, but in the Old Testament, there's a story where this young man, he lusted after this woman. He lusted after her. And then when he was able to have relations with her, then the next day he hated her. And that is how it goes for the most part in the world, is that sometimes people are being pursued, and they're only being pursued for one reason. And then after the man or the woman gets what they want, they don't want anything more to do with you. And so that's why the Bible says, and that's why God instituted marriage. One of the reasons he instituted marriage, and we don't have sexual relations outside of marriage, because it only winds up hurting you. It really does hurt you. And it also hurts the children that are involved later on, because they don't have a family. And the children want families. They want security. Wives want security. Husbands want security. So we have to do things the way God instituted it, because I think God knows better than we know. I think he knows a lot better than what we know. And so we want to follow God's ways. But the reason I played my theme song today, too, is because we are going to talk about Paula White's greatest hits. And, of course, we know that Paula White calls herself the spiritual advisor to President Donald Trump. My advice to President Trump is to get a new spiritual advisor. Because I have yet to hear any kind of repentance come from Paula White for her scamming and for the fact that she told her congregation to watch pornography, her and her husband did. And I'll play the clip for you so you'll hear it for yourself. Some of you have already heard it, but I've yet to hear her or Jonathan Cain Friga, which Cain is his stage name. His name is not Cain. His name is Friga. Her name is not Cain. Her name is Paula Friga, because that's his real name. But she doesn't like to call herself that. She likes to use his stage name too. Calls herself Paula White Cain, but that's not her name. And her legal name anyway. But I've yet to hear them repent for telling their congregation on a Sunday morning, when with children in the room there, a Sunday morning so-called church service, to watch pornography, that it will help their marriage. I don't think so. Look, stop already. That is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. In all my life, and since I've been going to church as a Christian since 1981, I never went to church. Never. I never went to a church. And the pastor of the church got up and told the people to watch porn. No, I don't ever remember. That's not a church. What is that? What is that? That's not a church. Oh, terrible. Terrible. Now, if that was my pastor, and I was surprised that they didn't clean the place out that day. Mothers were there with their teenage sons and their daughters. Husbands and wives were there. Now, can you imagine? Because some people would say, well, you know, the pastor said it was okay for us to watch porn because we can educate ourselves about sexuality, is what she was telling the people. She says, don't get addicted to porn, but educate yourself about sexuality. How in the world can anybody with a sane mind, think that you can educate yourself about sexuality by watching pornography, because you don't get those images out of your head. Who wants to think about that? The Bible says we're supposed to think on good things. We're supposed to think on things that are lovely. That's not lovely. That's not lovely. How in the world can men like Franklin Graham, Jack Graham, Robert Jeffers, and the rest of them stand up there, Mike Pence, all of them stand up there with this woman who's supposed to be heading up some evangelical committee over there? She's supposed to be representing me or the Christian church? I don't think so. I don't want her representing me. I don't want her, and I don't especially want her giving advice to the President of the United States. But I have yet to hear an apology for that remark. And there's still people going to that church. Even after that remark was made, this was about 2 years ago or so, the church didn't clean. It wasn't empty. There were still people going there. They still came back. I would never go back. Never. And nobody else should go back either. I'm saying, what in the world have things come to? So, Paula, if you happen to listen to this, you're welcome on this program anytime if you want to debate or you want to talk about things. You're welcome to come on here. Bradley Knight, Paula's son, you're welcome to come on here. We don't have to talk about your mother. We can talk about you. I'd like to hear from you too. But I sure would like an explanation, Paula, about why you told people to watch porn, and how did you ever get to be in this position? Because it wasn't God that put you over there at the White House. No, it wasn't God, because God wouldn't do that. God doesn't put false prophets and false teachers in those kinds of positions. But also, I don't see any reason why you would want to do anything to me as far as to try to get revenge for me speaking out about this, because your comments were made in public. They weren't made in private. I don't do private investigations. I don't tap people's phones. I don't follow them around. I don't do any of that. That's not my thing. You know, people that do that, that's fine. That's fine. If they want to do that, that's why we have private investigators. But I don't do that. I just take public audios that were spoken in public at church services or conferences. I take the words that you said and your husband said, and I play those words that were played over the internet. They weren't played in your home, in the privacy of your home. They were broadcast live over the internet. So there wouldn't be any reason for you or anybody that works for your so-called ministry to be upset with me. I didn't say it. You said it. And the audio is out there. It's already out there, available on YouTube, on my channel. It's also available on some other channels, the actual video of you and your husband telling people to watch the porn. So there isn't any reason to be upset with me about me broadcasting the fact, because it was already broadcast. So that's what I do on my radio program here, is I play audios that have been done publicly, and we do the commentary, because the Bible says that in the end times that we'll call good evil and evil good. And we're supposed to care about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to try to build it up and we're supposed to try to help people through their struggles. There's people that struggle with pornography addictions. Ask any wife whose husband has had a pornography addiction what it has done to their marriage and to their relationship with their children. It's so diabolical that I can't believe the whole thing. But there's a lot of things happening in the so-called church world now that I find hard to believe. I know people are human and they make mistakes, they sin, they do things that they're not supposed to do. Born again Christians, we know that. We know that people do things they're not supposed to do. But at least repent. At least repent. Anybody could forgive anybody for anything if they're truly sorry for what they do. But to just keep carrying on like nothing's happening and to continue fleecing people, to continue collecting money from people by promising them babies, that they can sow seeds of money to get pregnant. They can sow seeds of money to get their children off drugs. They can sow seeds of money to get more money from God to consume on their lusts when they couldn't even handle the money that they had. Ask most people in the church if they can even handle the money that they have. Most of them can't. They're in debt up to their eyeballs with all the teaching on seed sowing and tithing and all that. Ask them. They couldn't handle the money they had. So do you think that God's going to give them more money that they can't handle? I don't think so. No, God's going to teach you some lessons about finances, about how to handle your money, about how to budget your money, about how not to buy things you can't afford, and then run into so much debt, and then you're running over to Paula White's church or her television program, and you're sowing seeds of money to try to get something back to straighten up your mess. Now, yeah, God will help you straighten up your mess. Yeah, he will. He'll help you. It might take a long time. You know, it might take a long time. It might take a long time. But that's it. Paula White's greatest hits. Trust me, there's a lot of people. It would be a lot easier for me not to speak out about all this, really. But I feel like I have to. I have to. I like my privacy. I like to be a private person. I'm not one that wants to be out in the limelight. I had enough limelight in my life. And I like my privacy. But I knew when I started this radio broadcast that I was going to put myself out there. And I was going to have to say some things that probably the people that I'm saying it about won't like. But like I said before, I'm not doing any undercover work. I'm just taking the statements that they have made publicly and making them public. So there, it really isn't any reason for them to try to seek any kind of revenge against me for speaking out. I speak out too about a lot of the people we talk about that are false teachers and false prophets, hoping that maybe some of them will repent. Repent, because you can get angry at me all day, but God knows what you're doing. He knows more than I know about every situation. He's the final judge. So isn't it more important to try to get your life right with God now, before it's too late? Because I will say this, Paula White is not saved. No, you can't be saved. You cannot be born again and filled with the Spirit of God and you do fleecing, you do con artist preaching, you tell people that if you give money over here, you're going to get money back. You can't be saved and do that continually. maybe some people, they get into this stuff with their ministry and then they repent. They say, no, I'm doing the wrong thing. This is not of God, because the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So I'm sinning if I don't run my ministry by faith. That's the way we're supposed to run our ministries. If the people that are out there in public ministry, and we're trying to tell you what the Bible says, and then we don't even do what the Bible says ourselves, especially in the area of finances, then we don't belong teaching you anything. And that's how it is for most of the people out there that are pastors and teachers. If you can't run your ministry by faith, believing God to support it, and if you're not willing to support it yourself, if you have to, because Paul had them, he was a tent maker at one time. And who knows what else he was doing. He didn't mind. So sometimes we have to be tent makers and do things that way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with taking up an offering if that's what you want to do. As long as you're honest about it and you don't promise people the world because they give you an offering, just tell them, I need some money here. We need the money for this building. We need some money for our parking lot. We need some money to pay the light bill. We need some money to pay salaries. And I believe pastors should be paid. If they're working, they should be paid. It's a job. I don't mind ministers earning a living. They should earn a living from what they're doing. A workman is worthy of their hire, but nobody can promise you any kind of a return because you give them money. Yeah, the Bible says, "Given it shall be given," but that's not our motive. That's not our motive for doing it. And people in positions of authority shouldn't teach people how to do things with the wrong motive. They should just tell the truth that I'm taking up an offering from my ministry. That's what I choose to do. I don't do it that way. I don't do it that way because I like to do it this way. The way, if people want to give, that's up to them. That's their decision. And I want God to speak to people. I don't want to do the speaking in that instance. Maybe that's not how somebody else wants to run their ministry. That's fine. If they want to take up offerings and, put a PayPal button up or whatever they do to get people to ask people to support their ministry, that's fine. As long as they're being honest about it. There's nothing wrong with that. So, and the Bible does say too, you have not because you ask not. So there's nothing wrong with people taking up offerings for their work. But I would rather have God speak to people. And I found in my own life, from my own testimony, that I like it a lot better. I like this way a lot better. I do. So I recommend it. I recommend it. But anyway, let's look at a few scriptures, and then I'm going to play some of Paula White's audios. And you'll hear we'll be playing Paula White's greatest hits. I also have a complete chapter in my book, which is quite extensive because I actually was the reporter on the scene here. And I do love to go and do investigative reporting as far as visiting churches, taking pictures, researching the stories. And so in my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings, I have a whole chapter about Paula White. It's about 40 or 50 pages long. And I took the pictures. I took the pictures of her bankrupt buildings, her two church buildings, so-called, that were bulldozed and no longer exist. But that was the fruit of her labor, which she didn't honestly tell the story after it was over. But anyway, that's documented in the book. But I also have videos up on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is Susan Puzio, and that's out there. So for the people that listen overseas, and we do have people that listen in Canada. Hello, everybody in Canada, our great brothers and sisters in the United Kingdom, which I spent took many trips over to the United Kingdom, over 30 missionary trips I took over there. So I've been there quite a bit. I want to give a big shout out to my friends there in Great Britain. Also, our friends in South Africa, in Australia, Singapore, and those are the majority of our listeners come from those areas. We have listeners, though, in many, many countries, and we're very grateful for that, that God has blessed our ministry, which we don't do a lot of advertising, really. You know, it's amazing that people even find the program, for as many thousands of people that do tune in and manage to find us. I'm very grateful for that. So let's look at a few scriptures and then we'll play some of the audio. But 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And don't we see that? Don't we see that? You can turn on what they call Christian television. I don't call it Christian television, but you can see, there you see Mike Murdoch. He's almost on every one of those so-called Christian channels doing his con artist job over there. And it's such a, you know, it really makes the church, the body of Christ, look foolish. Not the real body of Christ, because the real body of Christ, we don't act like that. But to the world, to present to the world this brand of Christianity, it's so despicable. Ugh. I hate it. I hate Jesus being portrayed like he's some kind of a, you know, God has a slot machine up in heaven, and we put money in the slots, and he gives it back. As long as we give money to Mike Murdoch and Morris Cirillo and Benny Hinn and Paula White and people like this. And that's the way they present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Do we really believe that? Do they really believe that people are lost and going to hell and then they behave in such a manner? I don't think so. You can't, because when you're born again and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have some kind of compassion, even though the devil can use people to torment you and to try to torture you and to do things to you that are so bizarre that you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't even believe it if somebody told you some of the trials that people have to go through. But in the end, somebody that has the Spirit of God, we can still muster up some kind of compassion for our enemies. But these people don't have any compassion. How could you stand up on a Sunday morning in your pulpit and you look over the congregation and you see people there that are hurting, people that are suffering, and you treat them like they're just objects to make you rich? to make you richer. So you can buy a new Lamborghini, and Paula White owns a Lamborghini. That's a very expensive car. Very expensive car. I don't know if she bought who she bought it for, if she bought it for her husband or if she bought it for her own personal use, but I think it's like a $200,000 or a $300,000 car. And she claims she buys shoes that cost $3,000 a pair. Who cares? Who cares? Okay, if it's your own money, that's fine. Spend your own money the way you want to. Because if that's none of my business or anybody else's business. If you've earned money, honestly, it's none of, nobody's business how you spend it. You can buy whatever you want, and nobody should be critical of you for spending your money how you want to spend it, because that's more like socialism. Oh, you can't have that. We want what you have, and you have to give it to us. But when you take money from people under false pretenses and you do it in the name of Jesus, then that's another story. That is the business of the body of Christ, to try to correct the wrong that's being done in the name of Jesus. And as long as I have breath, I will speak out about it. And there's many other people that do the same, because we are fed up with the way Christianity is being portrayed. And that these people, that they would actually have somebody like Paula White on Fox News as being the spokesperson for Christianity, and on CNN and on CBN. Stop already. Stop. We don't want to be portrayed like that. And I don't know why more people don't speak out. Call Fox News. Call CBN. Call Jerry Falwell. He had Paula White over there and her husband to do a convocation with the students at his university. And at his university, at Liberty University, they actually have programs on apologetics. What? You have a program on apologetics, and then you bring somebody that's a false prophet and a false teacher and somebody that told their people to watch porn. You bring that person there to your university. Give me a break. Yeah, and Jerry Falwell Jr., he says, we're training champions for Christ. What? If you were really training champions for Christ, you would be more careful about who you bring over there to preach and to teach your students. Who's protecting the sheep over there from the wolves? That's supposed to be Junior Falwell's job. He's the chancellor over there. The Bible talks about it. Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Mark 7:6-9. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. This is Jesus talking. He prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Yeah, they talk that fair speech. They talk fair speech. And they look real important. Whenever I'm sorry, but whenever I see Paula White on TV representing the church, the so-called church, I cringe. And the dopey news media like Brian Kilmeade and CBN over there, the reporters over there at CBN, Pat Robertson himself and Terry Musin and the rest of them, with a straight face interviewing these people like they represent the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't. They don't. Get somebody on there. If you want somebody that's a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, get somebody on there that spent some time in prison for their faith. Somebody that was arrested somewhere and was a prisoner because they preached the gospel. Get somebody on there like that, that was willing to go to prison and to be beaten for their faith. Get that kind of a representative on there to talk about the church. Get that kind of a person to be a spiritual advisor to the president of the United States. Not somebody that's a scam artist, unrepentant. Second Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And that's Paul the White. She calls herself an apostle. An apostle. No, there was never one apostle that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ that ever. And Jesus Christ himself never did this. He never, never, never said, come on over here. I've got my hand out. Put $5 in my hand and you'll get a blessing. You'll get a baby. You'll get a car. You'll get a house. Your debts will be canceled. That never happened. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, but they're deceitful workers. Matthew 7:21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What do you want to hear, Paula White? Do you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or do you want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity? Second Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's what people want. Just tell me what I want to hear. Not all people, not all people. But the church is full of people like that. But people go to church, usually they go to the church because they want to be taught. The church is a teaching center. It's supposed to be a healing center. You're supposed to feel safe when you go there. The pastor is not supposed to lust after you and commit adultery with you and rob your widow's houses and rob your checkbook. It's supposed to be a sanctuary, a place of protection, a place where you feel safe. How many feel safe anymore on a Sunday morning? That's why people aren't even going anymore. They don't feel safe. First Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You know, back in the Old Testament, if you were a false prophet, it didn't turn out very well for you. It didn't turn out very well. I don't like to hear everybody, they have to feel important, so they have to put a title in front of their name. And most of the time, like Paula White, she called herself Doctor. Doctor Paula White. Doctor of what? Doctor of voodoo? She didn't get a doctorate, an earned doctorate from any university. She didn't earn her PhD. Or her doctor of divinity, or any of that. They all decide now that they're going to call themselves doctor. Dr. Mike Murdoch. Dr. Rod Parsley. Doctor, stop. If you have a doctor before your name, a doctor of divinity or a PhD, and you have an earned doctorate where you spent many, many, many years earning that doctorate, studying the scriptures, that's earned. But just to put a doctor before your name to make yourself important, so, oh, the rest of the body of Christ, oh, we're below you, but you're a doctor. It's like, stop it already. Just be yourself. You know, you can't put yourself up on a pedestal. That's why pastors fall. One of the reasons they fall is because they don't allow the congregation to call them by their name. They have to put a title before their name. They will not just be themselves, and they try to present themselves as something they're not. And you can't do that. Eventually, you realize yourself that you're just clay. You know, you're just a bunch of flesh going somewhere to happen. So, like the rest of the congregation, you're just trying to get by like they are, except that you've been put in that position of leadership by the Lord to do the teaching and to do the preaching, to try to help the congregation along. But don't try to be something you're not, because you're going to fail. You can't. You see it all the time. You see these people in Hollywood, and they have a public image that they have to portray to people through whatever public image they have that was manufactured by their press agent or whatever, and they can't live up to it. They can't live up to it. So what happens to them? The majority of them wind up on drugs. They wind up on alcohol. They wind up going from woman to woman or man to man or whatever it is, and then they wind up, most of them wind up dead at a young age. Because they don't have a normal life. They don't have a normal way of even how they look at themselves. And that's really the case with Paula White. She wants you to call her mother. I was tuning into her broadcast last week, and her sidekick there, Dougie Shackelford, he said, oh, it's so good to have mom back in the house. Now, I think he's older than her. He might be older than her. I don't know. I think she's 50, 52 or something like that. He's a grown man with a wife and grown children. And he said, so good to have mom back in the house. Mom. I'm like, what? What's wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you? It's like, stop already. I don't want anybody calling me mom. As far as my ministry goes, I'm not your mother. I had one mother. I had one mother. And she was my mother. She was my mother, let me tell you. No, I don't want to be calling anybody else mom. Or I don't want anybody calling me mother either. Well, I'm not your mother. But no, Paula, she wants grown men, and they do it. I have a video on YouTube. It's called Paula White, Divine Mother. And this guy actually gets up, this guy from her church. He used to go there. He was one of her pastors in training there. He actually gets up and calls her divine. Yeah, he called her divine. Yeah, and Paula and her husband, Jonathan Kane Friga, he was sitting next to her when this man got up and was calling her mother and saying she was divine. You can go to my YouTube channel. You'll see it there. You can watch it. You can hear the audio. I might have it here, and I'll play it for you if I can find it. Yeah, believe it or not. It's a grown man doing that. And the fact is, Paula, she sits there with a straight face, and her husband sits there with a straight face, the guy from the band Journey. He sits there with a straight face, and he lets grown men call his wife mother. I'm like shaking my head, because this is a man that is a self-made man. He's a businessman. He's a businessman. He's probably about 68 years old now. He's still out there trying to portray himself as a rock and roller, you know, but John, you're 68. I mean, it's okay. It's okay that you played. You are a very good piano player. I have to give you that. You're a good songwriter. I have to give you that. Singer, forget it. Not forget it. But you're 68. So anyway, how do you sit there? So for my brothers in Christ that are out there now, could you imagine that you and your wife are heading up a church? And people get up, grown men in the church get up in the church and call your wife mother. I don't think so. In fact, I was listening to Paula White's son the other day, Bradley. And Bradley, I would love to have you on the show. I would love to talk to you. But anyway, Bradley says, don't ever start calling me daddy. But Bradley, my question to you is, why then don't you have a little talk with your mother about your mother telling grown men in the church to call her mother? Because even out of your own mouth, you said, don't ever start calling me daddy. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Because remember, there was a lot of so-called daddies. Father, among others, but they didn't turn out so well. They didn't turn out so well. So the Bible says, call no man father, okay? And also, don't be calling preachers mother either. Here, anyway, I'm going to play the clip for you. Paula White and her husband telling people to watch porn.
Don't know what he likes, you know, figure it out. Get a book, but go get the porn, do something, whatever. If he likes to watch porn with him. You know what I mean? It's like, you gotta get where you gonna go. Figure it out.
I fell on the floor. Now, here's the thing, guys. Okay, I'm going to clear some stuff up because I know the church world. John and I don't watch porn. We have never watched porn together.
I say my only.
Okay, we don't. He doesn't watch porn without me because y'all are like that. And I'm gonna clear up because I know y'all just like breaking out. And we're not advocates of saying go outside, but what he's saying is educate yourself on sexuality. That's what he's saying. He's not saying get addicted to porn. He's saying educate yourself. But if you're going to sit there and say, we don't know what to do, get educated.
You they got tapes out now. They have tapes for couples. They can watch them.
Amen.
Okay, I know for many of you that have not heard that, it's a little shocking, and I'll play it again, because I've had people say, oh, well, she said, we don't watch porn. Well, yeah, well, she corrected herself and said, he doesn't watch porn without me. Doesn't watch porn. And then he tells the women and the men in the church, they have movies for couples. And then she says, he's trying to tell you to educate yourself because you're going to say you don't know what to do. Well, that, stop. Who in the world wants to put that filth into their mind and then approach their husband or their wife? That is sick. That is sick. I'll play it again. Listen carefully.
don't know what he likes, you know, figure it out. Get a book, but go get the porn, do something, whatever. If he likes to watch porn with him. You know what I mean? It's like, you gotta get where you gonna go. Figure it out.
I fell on the floor. Guys, I'm gonna clear some stuff up because I know the church world. John and I don't watch porn. We have never watched porn together.
I stay in my own lane.
Okay, we don't. He doesn't watch porn without me. Cause y'all are like that. And I'm gonna clear up because I know y'all just like breaking out. And we're not advocates of saying go outside, but what he's saying is educate yourself on sexuality. That's what he's saying. He's not saying get addicted to porn. He's saying educate yourself. If you're gonna sit there and say we don't know what to do, get educated.
They got tapes out now. They have tapes for couples. They can watch them.
Amen.
Yeah, Jim Jones. You know, I happened to be listening to her broadcast that day. I heard it. Another friend of mine heard it too. He was listening too. I couldn't believe it. I never heard anything like that come from a pulpit, ever. This was a Sunday morning service, and there was children in the room. Children. How in the world could a parent explain that to their teenage son or daughter, or even their small child that could understand what they were saying? How do you go home and explain it? How do you explain to your children that you even went back to that place, that den of iniquity over there that they call a church? How does a congregation of people laugh at that? They're laughing. And then she says, we're not telling you to go outside. We're not telling you to get addicted to porn. How do you get those images out of your head? Oh, he says, get some movies. What is wrong? What is wrong with those people? And yet these people, Jonathan Cain has a new book out, a memoir of his life. Forget it. No, I don't want to hear about your memoir. I don't want to hear it. What I want to hear is I repent. I'm lost and undone. Who cares about your stupid memoir? When you talk like that, and then this is the person that is running around appearing on so-called Christian talk shows to talk about his testimony. You allow the men in your the church over there to call your wife mother. And you allow your wife to scam people day after day and week after week? I don't want to hear about your testimony. It's like, stand up and be a man already instead of an Ahab. And maybe somebody would be interested in your memoir. I throw it in the trash heap where it belongs. I can't get over it. That's one thing that it. And then to have this woman praying at a presidential inauguration. It's beyond belief. It's beyond belief. But that's the state. That's the state of not the real church, but that's the state of the church, the Antichrist church, because that's what the Antichrist church is. It's anything goes. We can say anything we want and promote anything we want. We can do whatever we want. Don't tell us what to do, because if you tell us what to do, it's going to be hate speech. You're a hater. They call Paula calls people that criticize her haters. Well, we're not your haters, because we've been called to preach the gospel. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't say men do it or women do it. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But because we preach the gospel, we're called haters. We're going to continue to be called haters. But that's a spirit of rebellion, which is witchcraft. If I mess up, I want somebody to tell me that I'm messed up. I might not like it at first. I might say, oh, I'm not messed up, because they'll say, I'm not messed up, you're messed up. I remember before I got saved, I went to an evangelist's house for dinner. Him and his wife had me over for dinner. And we were sitting around the dinner table, and they looked at me and they said, you're messed up. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, you know. I messed up. I thought, these Christians, I thought to myself, how dare you tell me I'm messed up? But you know what? I went home after that, and I couldn't get that out of my head. It was like, why did they tell me I'm messed up? I'm not messed up. They're messed up, those goofy Christians. Because people that aren't saved, they look at Christians, and most of the time Christians are smiling. They're happy. So I used to look at Christians and say, oh, I can't stand that. They're always smiling, and they're always happy. And it used to bother me, but when I started thinking about that, and because they were truthful with me, they weren't worried, oh, we don't want to offend her because maybe she won't get saved if we offend her. No, they told me the truth. They told me, you're messed up. One day I said to myself, the light bulb went off in my head, and I said, I am. I'm messed up. Yeah, it took me 31 years. Yeah, it took me 31 years. But I finally realized I was messed up. And I needed a savior, because I couldn't save myself. I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't fix myself. I couldn't fix my sins. I didn't like the life I was leading. I didn't like it. So don't be afraid to tell people the truth. No, the truth. The truth helps people. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you send the word of God into somebody, it's going to bear fruit eventually. It will. They might not like you at the time. They might be angry with you at the time. But eventually, like what happened to me, those people loved me enough to tell me the truth that I was messed up. And I came to the knowledge myself that I was messed up and I needed a savior. Whatever I did in my life before I met Jesus, that's all under the blood. That's all, whatever you've done in your life before you were born again, that's all under the blood. Those things are forgotten and forgiven by God, because we've all messed up. Everybody has messed up. Before Christ, everybody. That's what the Bible says. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all have. But then as a Christian, we're supposed to change, and our life is supposed to be different. And we're supposed to try to protect our testimony at all costs, because it's like the Lord told me when I got saved. He said, Susan, whatever you do that involves another person, remember, there'll be two people involved. And that person eventually will turn on you if you've done anything that you're ashamed of it during your Christian walk. You can be guaranteed that that person will turn on you later on, and whatever is done in secret will be made known. And I took those words to heart, and I said to myself, Lord, I will try to protect myself and try to protect my reputation at all costs so that I don't bring a reproach to the name of Jesus. So you have to remember that whatever sin, if you commit a sin of the flesh, there's two people involved. And you can be guaranteed that down the road, that person will turn on you, expose you for being a hypocrite. It will happen. So we have to try our best to try to keep our testimony intact, especially if you have any kind of a public ministry and you'll be a target. So we have to try our best for the sake of our testimony as a believer, because whatever you did in your past life, that's, forget it. We were all messed up and we all did things that we wish we wouldn't have done. But once you're born again, old things pass away and all things become new. So you get a brand new life. I got a brand new life. Nobody can tell me that Jesus isn't real. Nobody can tell me that the born again experience is not real, because I know it's real. Because I know I went from one day as a child of darkness and to the next day I was a child of the light. My eyes were opened and I could see, and I was sorry for my sins, and God changed my life. Only God can change a life, and He can do it. He can do it. So if you don't know Jesus and you're tired of being a sinner and you say, well, I can't stop sinning. Well, no, you can't stop sinning on your own. No, you can't. That's why you need a savior. And Jesus is our savior. And He saved us. He saved us. For the people that listen and people like myself, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you know God saved you from that mess that you were in. Nobody could save you, but you know for sure that God saved you. Anyway, let's play a few more of Paula White's greatest hits.
White, who is a preacher, came to tape on This Is Your Day. It was actually the 24th of May. Taped for some programs like anybody else that come to tape. She's a preacher like anybody else. I've had women on my programs and men. And we've known each other. Her husband and her attended our church for 9 years. When nobody knew Paula White, she was one of my church members. So we got to talk. She went through a painful divorce. I went through a painful divorce. We found common ground to talk about stuff we could help each other in. And a friendship did develop. But hear this. No immorality whatsoever. These people out there are making it sound like we had an affair. That's a lie. That's a total lie. Because the second you say affair, you think sex. There's no truth to that whatsoever. None. The Vatican did invite me a few days ago. They made me a patron of the arts in the Vatican 2 weeks ago. Now that's a fact. A patron of the arts means you support the Vatican so they can maintain all the work of Michelangelo. I'm one of the guys now that supports what they do. And that is a fact. I was there, and we were taken around by a man named Wilhelm Kramer. And they asked me, literally, they said, do you know people that can help us financially? I said, all right. Here's what I made my mistake. I let her come with me to Rome so she can donate money.
Thank you guys for allowing me to take a vacation. I found out you preach better if you get a little sand in your toes.
You know, Benny, that was back in the day. That was quite a few years ago when Benny and Paula were caught by the National Enquirer. And Benny says he went through a painful divorce. The fact is, though, he wasn't divorced yet when him and Paula took off to Rome together and they were caught by the National Enquirer walking down the street holding hands. Well, they were just friends. Well, I don't hold hands with my married friends, okay? No. You know, if it's your honey, you hold hands with your honey, but you don't hold hands with your married friends, your men friends. And you don't usually do that. So anyway, he says that they jetted off to, he shouldn't have taken her, he says. He shouldn't have taken her. But they were going, he's a patron of the arts of the Vatican. They need his money. The Vatican doesn't need any money. No, the Vatican doesn't need any money. If they need money, they can always sell one of their masterpieces. If they really were desperate for money, they can take some of those gold chalices that they have with the jewels in it, and they can take that statue that they have there of the Pietà, or they can take some of the other masterpieces that they have that is probably worth $1 billion by Michelangelo. If they need money, they don't need Benny Hinn's money. Oh, please, it's like, stop it already. So pitiful. How much money do you want? When you're greedy, you never have enough. Here's another blast, Paula White's greatest hit.
Please, but God is not like that. I was ministering to a young woman in New York. The Lord looked at the young woman and said, can you carry the blessing of this house? She looked at me and said, how? I said, the Lord said, your first $100,000 is getting out of your hand. She looked at me and said, wow, I feel like passing out. But for the sake of God, I'm going to obey God. The young lady released the seed within a couple of few instants, and something supernatural happened. I don't know, maybe she may even be watching from somewhere online. And let me tell you, when the Lord sent a prophet to you, something bold decision must be taken to bring you to your place of a turnaround. Because the church is in the place where God is ready to bless us, but we are still in the place. Until the Lord brings you to the field, he cannot engage you into a certain level of blessing. I heard the word of the Lord ministering to me that this family is going to bless the work of God in a covenant of a seed of $70,000. What is 70?
Man, I want to make you proud. I have awesome privilege to discuss the value of a spiritual mother as it pertains to Pastor Paula. And so a parent is divine as one that begets or brings forth offspring, or a person who brings up and cares for another, and that's what we have embodied in Pastor Paula. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 through 3 is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Colossians 3 verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. And when it's talking about all things here, it's talking about all things that are consistent with the law of God in the gospel of Christ. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing here means...
I'm going to play that again. The first clip that I played there was a man named so-called Prophet Prempe, who was at Paula's church about a year ago or so. And this was one of the best con artist acts I think I have ever seen in my life, because he was saying there in that clip that he brings this couple up there, and I saw the video. He brings this couple up there, and he tells this couple that they have to give $70,000. Now, can you imagine? Because usually they don't do it that way. Usually they say, I have the Lord's telling me 100 people have to give $1,000. They usually don't go right up to people and say, you have to give $70,000. Well, that's what he was doing. He went up to one lady and told her she had to give $50,000, and she did it. She took her checkbook out and did it. And so did they. I imagine that they went out of there later with buyer's remorse, and they probably still have buyer's remorse. Imagine giving $70,000. It was despicable. Anyway, this guy, Prempe, he's associated with a man called Bernard Jordan, who's like a total New Age psychic. And so that's the guy that Paula brings to her church, and that's her prophet. And this is the so-called spiritual counselor to the president. Oh, you know, God help us. And then the clip I just played was the guy that I told you about that said that Paula was divine. You'll hear it in the beginning of the clip. I'll play it again.
Very honored to meet you too, April. It really is.
Oh, thank you.
We're here at the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas,
and want to make you proud. I have awesome privilege to discuss the value of a spiritual mother as it pertains to Pastor Paula. And so a parent is divine as one that begets or brings forth offspring, or a person who brings up and cares for another, and that's what we have embodied in Pastor Paula. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, is children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. And when it's talking about all things here, it's talking about all things that are consistent with the law of God in the gospel of Christ. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing here means, and is a reason sufficient to engage to the performance of the duty. For whatever is grateful and well-pleasing to God ought to be done with pleasure by us, from a principle of love to Him, by faith in Him, and with a view to His glory. And then...
Hey, I want to talk to you about something that's really important to God. And if it's important to God, I think it should be important to us. It's the principle of first fruits. And you might be saying, first fruits, what in the world is that? Well, it's the principle that all first belong to God. So whether it's the firstborn, it's the first of your increase, it's the first hours of your day, it's the first day of the week, the first month of the year, all first belong to God. When Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 6, and he's saying, hey, don't take any thought about these things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, how you're going to drink. And those are pretty basic necessities to our life that I think we take thought of. And that word take no thought means don't be overly anxious or carefully anxious. Like, don't have anxiety, don't stress out, don't worry, don't fret. And he's basically saying your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. So if he knows that we have need of them, and Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, clearly says that the plans of God for us are to prosper us. And prosperity is not just like, oh, I'll make you rich. Prosperity means to break forth, to break through, to break out. If God's plan is to prosper us, not to harm us, not to do us evil, but to give us an expected end, which means the desired result, and God has good plans for my life, and he knows what I have need of, then how do I see my needs get met? Now, the thing that I want to stress is motives are so important to God, because you can have two people that do the same thing, but the intention of the heart is very different in them. And the intention and the motive, to me, has to be, according to the Word of God, and I believe to God, very pure. In other words, I honor you, God. I'm not just doing this to get. I'm not just doing this for selfish reasons. Although, following the principles of God and the patterns of God bring back the results and the rewards that God's word says. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things, your everyday needs, your human concerns, they'll be taken care of. So if I'm to seek first the kingdom of God, first means first in time, place, position, foremost, chief. It means fundamental, which is an essential or basis for building all structure. If I'm to seek as a foundation or a fundamental the kingdom of God, which means God's way of doing things, if I'm to seek that first, and then all these things will be added unto me, I really have to understand what is the kingdom of God and what are first fruits and what belongs to him. The Bible lays it out from Genesis to Revelation. He clearly says, and I like Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says it like this. It declares, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So in other words, whatever is used as the first governs what happens to all the rest. So let me bring that down to everyday living. However I wake up in the morning and I set my first hours of the day, it's going to govern the rest of the day. Whatever I do with my first day of the week, it's going to govern the rest of the week. Whatever I do with the first month of the year governs the rest of the year. That's why the tithe, which is 10% of your gross income, the first tenth, not any tenth, belongs to the Lord, because it's holy and it belongs to God. So when you honor God with it, it redeems or removes what the Bible refers to as the curse, removes that which is unholy off of it. So when I bring to God what is known as a first fruits offering at the beginning of the year, because for most of us in the Western world, we follow a calendar where our beginning is January. And in this first month, when you say, God, I'm putting you first in my relationships, in my spirit, in my heart, in my mind, in my career, in my business, in my dream, I'm putting you first before my problems, before anything else, in my finances. And we honor God with a first fruits offering. Now, first fruits is different because it's not just a portion, it's the whole of. So for some, it might be a week's pay, wherever your faith is. I personally tend to give a month, the entire month's salary.
Yeah, she gives a whole month's salary. She gives a whole month's salary to herself. That's not a sacrifice. Oh, please. You know, God wants our heart. That's what he wants. He wants our heart. He doesn't need your money. What's he going to do with it? It's ridiculous. Just tell people the truth. We give money to each other. We're not giving it to God. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. So that's it. And she manages to take scripture and she twists it. Oh, we have to give God the first 10%. And if we do that, then he removes the curse off of our life. Well, you can't curse what's blessed. Either Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law or he didn't. Did he or didn't he? The Bible says he did. So don't tell me I'm cursed because I don't give you 10% of my money. That's ridiculous. I'm not cursed. I'm not cursed. Either is anybody else that's born again and filled with the Spirit of God. You're not cursed just because you don't give percent. That's a lie. And all that is manipulation and hypnotism. Anyway, that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, everybody in the chat room. Hello. Hi, Brother Vince. Good to see you over there in the chat room. And I want to thank everybody that listens to our program. Thank you so very much, everyone that's been faithful. And I want to thank all my friends, too. Thank you. And don't forget the most important thing. If your life is messed up and you say, there's no hope for me, there's hope for you. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Give your life to Jesus today. It's something that you will never regret. You will never regret it. God bless you. And don't forget to tune in again next week. And be praying for us, okay? We need your prayers.
Yeah. Almighty.